Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
The Scorched Earth Campaign at Starbucks. 300 journalists at Reuters walk off the job. Seniors celebrating the Inflation Reduction Act. And today on the show, the latest from the Communication Workers of America. And we check in with Iron Workers Local 808 in Orlando, Florida. Welcome to the Tuesday, August 9th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. Frank Matthews, Administrative Director of the Communication Workers of America, that would be District 4, will be our first guest. District 4 encompasses five Midwest states: Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Number one subject, the Senate passage of the Inflation Reduction Act, which, according to the CWA and the entire AFL-CIO, will improve working people's lives. This is a statement right from the website. With the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act, Senate Democrats have taken action that will improve working people's lives by lowering the cost of prescriptions drugs for seniors on Medicare and cap out their out-of-pocket expenses for medication. The legislation will extend the Affordable Care Act health insurance subsidies to prevent millions of Americans from seeing substantial increases in health insurance. And it invests in our green energy future, creating hundreds of thousands of good, green manufacturing and construction jobs that will eventually lower energy costs and help save our climate. It also brings more balance to our tax code through a 15% minimum tax on large corporations to ensure that instead of gaming the system to boost profits, they will pay their fair share. There's a lot of components to it. Frank's going to run them down. And it's definitely a legislative win for the White House, especially after the passage of the CHIPS Act, which did get bipartisan support. This legislation got zero Republican support. Same like the American Rescue Plan, where we save the pensions for the multi-employer plans. No Republican support there. I'm not sure Frank will talk about the political implications of this and more. So he'll be our first guest. Then we're going to go down to Orlando, Florida, and check in with Bobby Nost. Bobby is the business manager and financial secretary of Iron Workers Local 808. Website is ironworkers808.com. This is a local that was established more than 57 years ago, chartered on June 9th, 1965. It was formed by iron worker members from Jacksonville. The local there was 597. In Tampa, 397. And West Palm, 402. So basically, they had to create another one. You know why? Because of the workload. A lot of things were happening in the mid-60s. The startup of NASA's launch facilities at the Kennedy Space Center. The beginning of the new Disney World theme park. Their jurisdiction, we're talking 808, now serves eight counties, and they have about 900 members at this time. A little background on Bobby. He was initiated in the apprenticeship program back in 1984 after he was honorably discharged from the United States Marine Corps. He held many working positions in the field as an iron worker, including journeyman, foreman, job steward, general foreman, and superintendent. He was elected to the position of business manager, financial secretary, and treasurer on June 9th of 2018. And he never held an elected position in Local 808 before winning the business manager election in 2018, which is pretty rare, he says. Another thing that's kind of significant, all three of his sons are iron workers in 808. We'll talk about the apprenticeship opportunities for just about everybody, the workload in Central Florida, organizing, recruitment, and what's happening down the road. Apparently, with the infrastructure programs, theme parks, growing cruise terminals, and the Space Center in the eight counties they serve, they're really in the position of gaining market share. And we're going to talk about that with Bobby Nost as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. And now, a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by our friends at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. BoydWatterson.com for more information. Starbucks Scorch Earth Campaign. That's exactly what it is. And it's happening against Starbucks Workers United. It continued over the weekend. According to the union, the company fired a 13-year worker at a store in upstate New York near Buffalo. Why? For leading unionization efforts. Well, in response, workers at the store walked off in protest on Friday, and the strike, documented on TikTok, continued over the weekend. The union says that this is the ninth union leader in Buffalo to have been fired for union activity and almost the 100th such worker fired by the company nationwide. So, they filed a unfair labor practice charge against Starbucks on the workers' behalf, which is yet to be taken up by the National Labor Relations Board. And right now, over 200 Starbucks locations are going union or have gone union right now. So it's a movement, no doubt about that. Last Thursday, nearly 300 journalists at Reuters, a global news agency, walked off the job for 24 hours in protest of management's slow-walking contract renewal negotiations. This, by the way, is the first major labor action by journalists at the company in more than 30 years. Reuters journalists, photographers, videographers, copy editors, producers, and technicians are all represented by the News Guild of New York. As a result, the journalists picketed outside the Reuters News U.S. headquarters that's located in Times Square. So a lot of people definitely saw what was happening. The journalists, here's the details on what happened. They walked out to protest management's offer of a guaranteed annual wage increase of just, ready for this, 1%. 1%, which would effectively mean a pay cut when you factor in the cost of living. And the company's profits are at record highs. Since the end of 2017, the company's cash from operating activities has totaled about $3.6 billion. And its dividend has risen by nearly 29%. Yet management's latest offer, in addition to the 1% guaranteed wage increase, also includes zero retroactive pay for nearly 2.5 years since its last general wage increase of March 2020. The pay offer is especially hard to swallow for journalists who have found themselves in the line of fire like never before, whether they're covering the pandemic or the war in Ukraine. In the meantime, the company's majority owner and billionaire chairperson, David Thompson, is one of the world's richest people and an avid art collector. His family's wealth has increased by more than $17 billion since journalists at Reuters got a general wage increase going back to March of 2020. How about that? The Inflation Reduction Act is being celebrated by the Alliance for Retired Americans, and I'm sure Rich Fiesta, who will be joining us a week from Friday, will have more on this. They issued a statement on Sunday saluting the 50 members of the U.S. Senate and our Vice President, Kamala Harris, who voted to put the needs of older Americans ahead of drug corporation profits. Rich said Americans pay the highest drug prices in the world. The end of that sad distinction starts today. One in four Americans reports not taking at least one drug as prescribed because they cannot afford it. In a country as wealthy as the United States, no one should have to choose between taking medicine or putting food on the table. And I'll tell you, one of the highlights in that Inflation Reduction Act is capping out the pocket costs for insulin at $35 per month for Medicare beneficiaries. This is a drug that's not new, been on the market for a long time, and there are millions of people suffering from diabetes. It gets worse as you age. Unfortunately, there's no help for people that are not on Medicare. That's the next step on this. This also caps out drug pricing at $2,000 per year for Medicare Part D. So a lot of good components. There could be more. We always say it's a work in progress, and hopefully they'll make it better down the road. But the Alliance for Retired Americans definitely saluting what happened over the weekend. Quick break now. Frank Matthews on behalf of the Communication Workers of America coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter or do both. AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. Before we get to Frank Matthews, I want to give the P.O. Box for the United Way of Kentucky. Boy, they are still getting hammered with rain. Lots of flooding. Over 40 people have died as a result of the flooding there. We did a segment last week with Bill Londrigan of the Kentucky AFL-CIO. And if you can help out, just get your checkbook out and send a check. Make sure you put on there in the memo part, Union Disaster Relief, Union Disaster Relief, and mail it to the United Way of Kentucky, P.O. Box 4653, Louisville, Kentucky, 40204. Okay, Union Disaster Relief, United Way of Kentucky, P.O. Box 4653, Louisville, Kentucky. A lot of unions are coming together to help so many people. It's my understanding there's at least 10,000 union brothers and sisters that are underwater right now. A little salute to LIUNA 1392. They're helping out. And Local 89 of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. That's just a couple. There's a whole lot more, and I'm putting together that list, and we'll report more on that as the week goes on. Right now, though, let's go to line number one and join one of our regulars, longtime sponsor, Frank Matthews, on behalf of the Communication Workers of America. National website, cwa-union.org. Mr. Matthews, how are we doing today, my brother?
We're doing great. Good afternoon, Flash.
Probably not as good as Joe Biden. I mean, he's had a couple of legislative wins here. Boy, you think about it. Here's what I can't figure out. Frank. I mean, his polling is atrocious. And a lot of that is messaging by the Republican Party. And I mean, they're just chopping away and chopping away. But boy, think about this. You got the American Rescue Plan, bailed out pensions. We've got the Infrastructure and Jobs Act, a lot of money finally going to roads and bridges and telecom too, broadband. The CHIPS Act, what we say there, I mean, semiconductors, and they're building a plant. Finally, they're going to build a plant in Central Ohio, and now the Inflation Reduction Act. Doesn't seem to be getting credit for these, though, does he?
No, he's on a pretty good run, too. And I mean, it's like, you know, it really started with and you hit the nail on the head. A lot of it is messaging, because I think this White House, to me, I think it's unfortunate, but they haven't been an administration that goes out and beats their chest on victories, sometimes to their detriment. And you know, I think we're in a country where, you know, when you've got the other side that amplifies everything to the 10th degree on anything negative or you know, manufactures negative news, you have to almost really, really, you know, overemphasize your victories. And there have been a lot. It started with that pension save, that, you know, with them saving the pensions of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of workers. And, you know, that's not just Joe Biden. That's folks like Sherrod Brown had a lot to do with that. Congressman Tim Ryan from Ohio. You know, all of our friends really in the House and Senate save that, because I guarantee you, corporate America and their supporters in the on the GOP side in the Senate and the Congress didn't care. And you know, that kind of started the ball rolling, and then we kind of segue into the CHIPS Act, and you know, this CHIPS Act, here's what blows me away about the arguments on the CHIPS Act. Fortunately, 64 senators voted for it. We had 17, you know, Republicans come across the line and voted for a really good bill for the American worker and jobs here in this country and our future and national security. You know, $200 million for education and dedicated to worker education and you know, transferring workers from maybe one job to this kind of work. It's monumental. And when the House GOP minority whip Steve Scalise, his comment was he couldn't support this because it gives billions away to corporations. It makes you want to fall off the chair, your chair, because you know, we just saw the Trump tax cuts that actually gave away, I mean, this is less revenue coming to this country of $1.9 trillion over 10 years. And this guy's complaining because we're spending $52 billion on a bill that's actually going to help Americans survive, bring jobs back, add national security. And it's just incredible some of the reasons these folks find to vote against country. And so the CHIPS Act, I mean, you know, it's I think it's going to set the trend for finally bringing jobs back to this country. And what we need to do to you know, I don't know of many Americans that would support a politician that basically says, my position is we ought to move our jobs overseas, or we ought to put the American worker at a disadvantage. And that's just what these members, these GOP members like Steve Scalise and the like, and their ilk are saying when, you know, I'm not going to support this because of a, you know, because it gives billions away to corporations. They have no problem giving billions away to corporations when it comes to tax breaks and to CEOs and the like, based on this trickle-down theory. But I think we've witnessed over the last couple of decades that, you know, trickle-down is fugazi. It doesn't exist. So tickled to death to see Joe Biden start a ground up. Let's worry about the American working family and make sure people have jobs and make sure they aren't working three jobs, you know, to make their family, you know, to give their family a future. And it's just really encouraging, brother.
And Frank, when we talk about the Inflation Reduction Act, which Mitch McConnell called an economic disaster, look at the benefits for seniors in lowering drug costs. And we all know the price of drugs in America. We pay the highest price for drugs than any country in the entire world. And we're being held hostage by the drug companies. So,
it's incredible. I mean, you know, this actually, to your point, gives Medicare the right to, you know, as you say, to negotiate those prices. Senior citizens should be doing a tap dance today, because it not only gives them the ability to negotiate those drugs, but it also caps their out-of-pocket. You know, the really sad thing here, and, you know, there's so many facets to this health care tax and climate bill, what they call the Inflation Reduction Act. But, you know, there was also going to be a platform or a wing in here on insulin cost, because that is one of the, you know, the Biden administration has, and rightfully so, earmarked that as like one of the targeted, the most abusive that the drug companies are treating Americans and really people all around the world, and more so here in America, the cost of insulin. And there was actually a portion of the bill that, because it wasn't necessarily a savings to the budget, because it would cost a little bit, but there was a portion in there that would cap insulin drug costs at $35 a month for folks that are on Medicare. And we've got people that are rationing insulin and mm-hmm. and actually risking their health so they can just get through a month. And here we have an opportunity to, yeah, it would have cost a little bit, but I'm here to tell you, myself as a taxpayer and American citizen, I sure as heck would rather have tax dollars going to help Americans than help CEOs and corporations, you know, on tax or, you know, on stock buybacks and limiting taxes on corporate CEOs who are already making, you know, 1,700 times the average worker. I mean, if you go to most Americans, and most of us know somebody that has a diabetes issue or a sugar issue. So, I mean, it's a portion of the bill that really touched home for a lot of people. And they couldn't even get 10 Republicans to back it so it would, you know, go to a vote on the floor. 7 Republicans, 43 Republicans out there voted against capping insulin costs for us. I mean, and I'm going to say us. It's me, you, it's our grandparents. And there's only one reason that anybody would vote against that. It's that you're in the pocket of the drug companies. And people need to start figuring this out, that there's so many issues out there that they use to divide us with. But these kitchen table issues of jobs and health care and all that, they affect all of us. And, you know, a lot of times these parties, you know, and these politicians use one or two issues to divide us as Americans, and I think we can all agree on in healthcare, jobs, and the like are first and foremost, because after that, I mean, what life do you have without those? And it's just, to your point, the healthcare and the Medicare drug aspect of this is huge. And then you get into all the, you know, the adjustments that they're making on the excise tax for stock buybacks, which will raise, it actually doesn't cost the Americans, it raises $74 billion over 10 years. Basically balancing out the tax and putting a 15% minimum tax on large corporations. That actually raises $258 billion over a decade that they can return back to us as taxpayers. And it's epic, it's monumental, and I think things are going to switch once people start seeing the results of these bills and these acts that are getting passed now. And I think, you know, we're going to wake up a year from now and people are going to realize that, you know, this administration, the Biden administration, is one that actually worked for workers and the people and didn't think of corporate and CEOs first.
You came to the table prepared today, my man. Holy moly.
It's really exciting. You know, we sit here and witness the last year and a half, 2 years of Biden doing things and still getting beat up over it and having to fight to do everything. Well, you know what? Let's just start worrying. And that's what I would tell any politician now. You know what? Throw caution to the wind. Let's just start worrying about the American people and the American working family and senior citizens. And I think everything else is going to take care of itself, and you're going to see a party out there still fighting, you know, putting party over country. But I think people will start realizing, and those numbers will change.
Frank, I certainly hope so. Frank Matthews joining us, as he usually does here on America's Workforce. Proud sponsor of the show, Administrative Director of CWA District 4, national website cwa-union.org. Later in the show, we're going down to Orlando, Florida. We're going to check in with Bobby Nose, Business Manager of Ironworkers Local 808. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Hello from the Communication Workers of America, District 4. We are a labor union representing a vast array of workers in different industries, including the Association of Flight Attendants, Telecommunications, CWA Passenger Services, Public Health Care, and Education Workers, the IUE, CWA Industrial Division, the National Association of Broadcast Employees, the CWA News Guild, not to mention our growing digital sector, and many others. If you're interested in organizing your work group or learning more about what it means to be CWA strong, visit our website at www.cwad4.org. That's cwad4.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, we are available on at least 6 platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We love those 5-star ratings, so keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Labor Federation. Also, the Communication Workers of America. Joining us on our live line, Mr. Frank Matthews, Administrative Director for District 4. You know, just to button up this Inflation Reduction Act and the good news for seniors, and for the life of me, I can't figure this out. You mentioned in the first segment about, what is it, 43 Republicans who went against the very fact that we can cap drug prices. I mean, seniors vote. I don't understand the connection there. Why? And still, seniors will vote against their own best interests. And a lot of people are in that category. Frank, you said you had a theory on that. What would that be?
Yeah, I think people are votes, you know, a lot of, and it's not just seniors, but it could be, you know, I'm I'm 60. It's folks my age, although maybe I am considered a senior now. But it's even folks in that middle band of ages. You get to where, well, I've always voted this way. And you know what? These political parties, particularly the GOP, are much different than they were 20, 30 years ago. There was still a America First in most of these candidates, regardless of party. And I think we've seen a switch in these candidates, particularly in the GOP, that it's party over country. And how you can defend, and as I mentioned in the first statement, how you can defend not voting on something that's either going to help American seniors with drugs, help cap health care, or help actually produce and jobs in this country that's going to increase our national security, and say today it gives billions away to corporations, so I'm not going to support it, as Steve Scalise did on that, but then adamantly go out and campaign and support a couple years ago, you know, for the Trump tax cuts, which actually cost the American taxpayer $1.9 trillion over 10 years. You know, you've got folks up there in let's say Wisconsin, for example. You got a Senator Ron Johnson who basically said that Social Security was, should be considered to be on the chopping block from what I read. Of course, he's kind of backpedaled from that since when it blew up in his face. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I've paid into Social Security all my life. It's not a gift. It's not something that this country does out of the goodness of their heart for me. I've paid into that. So workers today can go based on, and I get it how it works. It's we pay in today, and there's retirees out there. So that's another issue. You know, so many of these politicians consider everything that many of our seniors today take for granted, and quite honestly, they deserve, and they should deserve them because they paid for them over their lifetime as American workers and taxpayers. They consider them gifts, and you know what? It's just, it's just something we just can't do anymore because it's costing money. But then, out of the other side of their mouth, they turn around, and any tax break that would come down the line for a corporate CEO or a corporation, they do. You know, it's failed policy is what it is, because there's the expectation that if you make life easier for corporate America and CEOs, that's going to trickle down to the American worker. We know that's not true. These corporations and CEOs will take our money, take our tax breaks, and move our jobs to Mexico. They'll move our jobs to South America. They'll move our, you know, and thank you, may I have another. You know, that concept isn't working anymore, and it's really, really encouraging to see this administration putting workers first. We've talked about this before. We've probably got a president in the White House right now. Never before, maybe since FDR, have we had a president that was more labor-friendly and more worker-friendly and got it. Clear back to his Scranton, PA roots, this guy gets what the average worker has to do and what the average working family puts up with on a day-to-day basis. Take away all the political rhetoric and all the news bites on the nightly news and Joe this, Joe that. You just look, we've talked about today, you look at these last bills, the last four bills that have passed, that's more than has been done for working families probably in the last 15 to 20 years. And we're seeing it right now. And just think how great things can be over the next year or two if people get out of the way of this president and let him bring back the middle class in this country. And people, to your point, I don't know why, maybe that's my long explanation of why people vote vote the way they do at times. A lot of times I think people vote aspiration, vote their aspiration instead of their situation. Or maybe they used to consider themselves in the upper 25%, and they've been convinced their whole lives that that's where they're supposed to be. I'm supposed to be a pro-business guy. Well, you know what? If the businesses in this country maintain their position of loyalty to the American worker, that, you know, wouldn't like it, but I'd kind of understand it. These corporations are multinational now, and the only time they consider them, some of them consider themselves an American company, is when they got their hand out. So people need to start realizing that our situation is dire unless we do something to turn around this country as far as the workforce and how workers are treated and you know, take care of working families. The middle class is going to be dead if we don't turn it around. And thank God we're doing some things now.
And we have to keep in mind the legislation that we're talking about on the show today is going to create jobs for many years to come. I mean, 5, 10, maybe 15 years down the road. Saving pensions, the Infrastructure Jobs Act, the CHIPS Act. I mean, just in Ohio alone, Frank, we're looking at 7,000 construction jobs. And when that plant is built, 3,000 people inside making a whole lot of money. We're talking well over six figures here. But these jobs are not going to happen today or tomorrow. We're years out there. Maybe that's the reason people don't understand the effects of this administration. I want to turn the page a little bit and talk about organizing. And those of you listening right now, go to CWA-union.org and you can see the organizing update on behalf of the communication workers. I love this company. Workers at Meow Wolf. Meow Wolf in Denver, Colorado, won voluntary recognition for their union after a supermajority of workers voted in favor of forming a union with the CWA. And then, after demonstrating unanimous support for joining the Association of Flight Attendants, which is merged with the CWA, with signed authorization cards, flight attendants at Norse Airlines filed for official recognition and certification with the National Mediation Board. So we're seeing an uptick in organizing. And I noticed this on your website, the PRO Act. I'm thinking, with all these legislative wins, what do you think? You think we could push this over the finish line here? I know we need Republicans on this, and I guess that would take an end to the filibuster then, right?
That's right. That's right. And that's a great segue. I mean, because if we didn't have the filibuster right now, the PRO Act would have been passed a year and a half, 2 years ago, or as soon as President Biden came into office. You know, we still hope to get a vote on the PRO Act. A lot of stuff has happened here, you know, with this movement over the last, you know, I'll be honest with you, I had really hoped by this point, and we'd hoped that there would be a vote on the PRO Act. Now, we understood that in the Senate that it was an uphill battle to get 10 Republicans to break ranks with their party and support it to where it would actually even get a vote. But we wanted to force that vote. You know, we already know who's pro-worker and who isn't. Let's make them, actually force them to make a vote on cloture on the PRO Act. And, you know, right now, that's the biggest thing that scares a politician is having to actually take a stand one way or the other on a vote that they know is not, is very unpopular. And, you know, to your point, we're seeing a resurgence in this country of labor unions that, you know, probably all time of the opinions on labor unions and the fact that, you know, 70% of Americans said if they got a chance to join a labor union, they would. There's a reason for that. The corporate America is run amok, and basically workers are tired of you know, having to work 60 hours a week and still struggling paycheck to paycheck. And while they see corporate CEOs and corporations, you know, like I said before, the average CEO making 1,700 times the average worker. And, you know, not to go back in history, we've watched this since about 1970, where as productions rose, all the profits went to the top of the companies, and they've kept the workers down low, flatlined the wages, and people are waking up to that fact. And so I guess it's a perfect storm, if you will, that probably the opinions of labor unions and the need for unions are bigger than ever. And this is a bill that addresses many of the tactics that corporate America has used over the last 50 years to hold unions down. I hope we get a vote on it and can force people to a vote. In a perfect world, we end the filibuster and then vote on it.
All right, Frank, we're going to leave it on that note. Frank Matthews, Administrative Director of District 4, the CWA, proud sponsor of America's Workforce. National website, CWA-union.org. Stay safe, stay in touch. We'll talk next month, brother, okay?
Take care, brother.
Quick break. Bobby Nost is the business manager of Ironworkers Local 808. He's coming up next.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go to Orlando, Florida right now. And joining us on line number two is Robert. He prefers to be called Bobby. Bobby Nost is the business manager and financial secretary treasurer of Ironworkers Local 808. Website is ironworkers808.com. And they were chartered back in 1965, and Bobby joined them in 1984. Bobby Nost, welcome to America's Workforce. How are we doing today, my brother?
Very well, Ed. Thank you for letting me speak today.
You got it. You got it. I see that you're, well, I always say former Marine, but once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. Isn't that right?
Shape or fry, my brother.
There you go. There
always
you go.
Always faithful, buddy. Always faithful.
So I see you go back to 1984, honorable discharge with the Marines. Did you go right into the trades then? Talk to me about that part in your life, Bobby.
No, sir, I didn't. I come out of the Marine Corps from 29 Palms, California, with two little kids and a wife, and came back to my hometown of Orlando. Wasn't sure what I was going to do and was afraid, you know. Wasn't going to go back to being a lifeguard. That wasn't going to happen. So just driving down the road one day in downtown Orlando and seeing some guys building a metal building. And I stopped and found out who the owner was. And I said, I know nothing about what you're doing, but I'll work my rear off if you'll give me a chance. And $5 an hour and all the water I could drink, here I am today. So that was non-union. And then later on in life, not much later, just less than a year, I had met a a man that was a union iron worker, and we got to talking, and he got me in the apprenticeship, and that's how it went.
$5 an hour at the time. Do you know what the unions were paying back then?
I did look it up one time. I think it was 15.
15. There's the big difference there.
So
you learned the trade and you worked yourself up the ranks. I thought it was kind of interesting. I mentioned this earlier. I mean, what was the first crack at it? You became business manager? Is that what happened?
Well, actually, I had run one time before, but I have never been in any kind of a position of political, you know, I've never been a recording secretary on the executive board, anything. Usually, most people that get to the business manager position have prior, you know, service in the hall. And I was just an iron worker on the iron that, you know, I always tried to take care of my brothers and sisters. And they said, come on, let's run. Let's get this thing done. And so that's what we did.
Great, great, great. So right now, 900 members, is that pretty constant for 808?
Yes, sir. In 2018, we were at 742. Before COVID, we were 18 shy of 1,000. And COVID knocked us down a little bit, but we're back to growing wide open again.
Well, talk to me about the work in that area. I'm hearing good things. I'd like to hear it from your mouth. What's the story over there in Central Florida with the iron workers?
Yes, sir. It was it's great right now. It's just started booming again, and we went through COVID pretty much unscathed because there was already work on the books, and you know, material was there and everything, and we were essential workers. So we worked through the whole COVID pandemic, and then after, when everybody started going back to work, it was hard getting materials. Jobs were slipping. We had more people on the bench, is what I call it, you know, out of work than we had in a long time. And it was a scary moment, especially for somebody like me, because it's hard to sleep at night when you know you have brothers and sisters that don't have a job.
I know you cover 8 counties over there in Central Florida. I mean, can you be specific on what kind of projects we're looking at right now?
Yes, sir. I won't get into all the counties, but basically, any large job that you see downtown Orlando, all the any of the parks, we do amusement parks, Disney, you know, Universal, every one of those. And then all the Space Center. We do the, of course, Port Canaveral, which is one of the larger ports around, and anything in between. So we're blessed with where we live because it never dies of theme parks. You know, if Disney starts a new ride, then Universal's got to beat it, and it never dies. It's always, you know, the door keeps opening.
Bobby, you talk about Disney World down there, and unfortunately, that has become a political issue because of your governor and legislature down there. I'm wondering, what are the members of 808 saying about that?
Basically, they don't really have an opinion. It's because they're still working and everything seems to be fine as far as, you know, our work and what we do with them. So it hasn't really affected us that much. And, of course, we have members that are, you know, staunch one way and staunch the other way. But at the end of the day, we're still brothers and sisters. And I really tough about, you know, don't divide ourselves over that kind of stuff. We did before.
Yeah.
We don't need to now.
It's a bunch of noise. I hear you. And, you know, the bottom line is there's jobs down there. And you just that area has just exploded. Oh, my God. I never thought it would become a city in itself. But that's exactly what has happened there. So that's all good. Well, talk to me about your apprenticeship program and bringing more people in. As you know, with the Infrastructure and Jobs Act, you're going to see more building, and it's going to be good for all the trades. Not just the iron workers. So how are we prepping for the future, Bobby?
That's true. And we are prepping for the future by we have a full-time organizer that's all he does, Mike Clemento. That's all he does is work on gaining more members. Besides that, we have, of course, the apprenticeship program where any young person can come in, and not even a young person can come in and do 4 years of training, working the whole time, getting benefits, insurance, everything. And then we have a new program that we do that's called the probationary, and that's where we get the non-represented worker, and we talk to them, we bring them in, we have career fairs, we bring their wives and their kids, and we have pizzas, and we do PowerPoints, show them the insurance and that we have $10 an hour. Every hour you work goes into your pension and annuities, and you can have up, you know, as many kids as you want, 1 to 10 kids, and it doesn't cost you nothing for your insurance, and not a penny. And the contractor pays for all that. And when the wives see that, of course, they're slapping their husbands and saying, you're not going back to that other job, which is great for us. So, but I'm a staunch believer in, you know, I'm an old core, I guess, iron worker. And back in the day, you've heard the term, you know, well, if you're non-union, you're a rat. You're not a rat. You're just a person that's trying to feed your family. And you've maybe not had that opportunity to do these things. And they're scary for people that don't know what it's about, you know, and jumping that fence when you've got a mortgage and a truck payment. And are they going to keep me working? And do I have to go back with my tail between my legs to ask for that job back and all these things? But then when they get in there, they love it. They tell their friends. And then, of course, we grow the local that way as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that your personal story speaks volumes. I mean, you started in a non-union outfit at $5 an hour, join the union and you triple your pay. I'm just wondering, are you in the process? It sounds like it. Maybe you can give me some examples of converting some of those contractors to go union down there. Is that happening right now, Bobby?
A little bit. Yes, sir. We're working on it as we speak. The problem here is, of course, right to work is really tough. And one of our biggest problems is, and I really beat this drum and I'm trying to help this, is they exploit, the non-union companies will exploit these undocumented workers. And we see this all the time. They don't pay them right. They won't go to the hospital, of course, or anything like that if they get hurt. And I've actually rolled up on jobs before where there was 12 guys on one job living in a 12 by 60 single wide trailer with no electricity, no running water, not even any place to use the restroom. And to me, that's slavery. That's not just, you know, working a guy we've got to change this thing. We have to change. You know, back in the day, if you checked our lineage, I bet you every one of us somewhere along the line has come across the water to Ellis Island or wherever, and went through a door and come out the other door, and we were an American citizen, be it an Italian-American, whatever. And we need to get back to where that's not such a hard process for these guys to do, because a lot of them want to do it. I've got one member, it's taken him 5 years to get to be a complete American citizen.
Yeah.
And he worked at it every day, and that's wrong. We've got to help these people. It'll actually make the scale fair too, because that's what they'll do. They'll take these guys and work them for half the pay that we pay them. They're not going to say anything, and they use them up and throw them away, basically, Ed.
Yeah. Well, what they're doing is illegal. Do they prosecute those folks down there in Florida? Are they aggressive in that or no?
Yes, sir. They're pretty aggressive. It's tough. It's tough all the way around. We had the VA hospital, you know, it was that way, and they had a huge raid about, I don't know, 8 years ago. And they locked all the gates, and there was actually people hiding. I had one of my sons that's a union iron worker on that job, and he said, Dad, these guys were hiding in the walls all night long, standing up all night long, waiting for that to go away. And then 3 days later, everybody's back on the job again, doing the same thing. So it's sad to watch that. It really is. And I'm a believer in, you know, a lot of people, there's both ways, you know, man, we should kick them out. We should do this. We should do that. You know, I think if they're over here and they've got the gumption to do that, let's help them. Let's help them be one of us.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Point out, too, that Bobby is preparing for the next generation of iron workers. All three of his sons are local 808 union iron workers. So all good stuff. Bobby Nose joining us on our live line. Ironworkers808.com is their website. It's a pleasure and an honor to talk to you. A Marine, always a Marine. You keep up the fight down there. You are the right person to head that local. You know that, right?
I hope so, brother. I try every day, and so does our whole team. We've got a really good bunch of people.
It sounds like it. Okay, you stay in touch with us, okay? Anything we can do to help you out, let us know, all right?
And the same way here, and thank you so much for the opportunity. We really appreciate it. You're making a difference.
All right, that'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, we're going to check in with the sheet metal workers in Alabama and the carpenters in Atlanta. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.